on ESPN 1000.
He'll run it. Howard, left side. Howard, ball's there! Touchdown!
That's back. And he makes the catch! He makes the catch! He jumped and made the catch! First!
Starts the drive, step back in the air.
Oh, heavy step back and kissed myself! Big time players make big time plays!
Woo! Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play. Bryant, the Cubs!
From your hood to J-Hood.
Can't wait.
Weeknights on ESPN 1000.
What's up, and welcome in. You're listening to ESPN 1000, the ESPN app, Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights at 7. Tomorrow, special time. 6 p.m. 6 to 8 o'clock, I'll be with Chris Bleck. We'll review the first half of the NBA season. Whatever Chris wants to talk about, I'm here. I will be here for him. Absolutely. That'll be part of the mix tomorrow. 6 o'clock, right after Waddle and Sylvia. And we're just going to walk it up to the All-Star Friday in Charlotte in the NBA. We'll have our coverage starting at 8 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Hit me up on Snapchat, SnapJHood. Also on Twitter, twitter.com, tweetJHood, as we broadcast live from our first Midwest Bank Studios.
Strong, trusted, First Midwest Bank.
That's quite the dichotomy, isn't it? I think that should be their new slogan.
Big bank, little bank.
Go up to the window and see how that works.
He'll probably call now. He just said something weird. I'm not sure if he's trying to get into the vault.
I just walk up to him just to be like. Then my friend
strong,
says.
Strong, trusted, First Midwest Bank.
There you go. We will hear from Candace Parker coming up at the bottom of the hour here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. So, before we get into our special segment we do every Thursday, which is
the Throwback.
Throwback Thursday. We must say,
oops, I'm breaking the fourth wall.
We turned over to Eric Ostrowski. Eric?
What's up?
So, yesterday, you and Felix are producing the program. And you say to me, you know, for our segment that we do every Thursday, we should do something Valentine's Day related. You know what happened?
Some ideas aren't good ideas.
No! Well, no, I agreed. And I've never been one to do the theme on the theme day, but I figured maybe today would be the one, because here's why I don't do this, usually. The theme of the theme day. Who's the biggest heartthrob in sports? Give me a call here on this Valentine's Day. Who is someone you'd give nasty candy to on Valentine's Day? 312. That's why I don't do that. I broke myself from that producing. Again, right side of the margin.
Yeah.
So I'm doing national radio, right? I'm doing one-on-one sports that was based out of Northbrook in the 90s. And Bob Berger is the host, and I'm producing. And I'm producing a show on 4th of July on an afternoon, middle of the day. So I said, Bob, what do you want to talk about? I said, we got some baseball here. We got, you know, maybe some football previews. I said, it's 4th of July and it's going to be a little tough. And Bob says, well, it's 4th of July. Why don't we do 4th of July memories? And I said, Bob, that's a terrible idea. I said, I don't have any 4th of July sports memories. He goes, oh, no, everyone's got their own 4th of July memories. So Bob Berger opens the phone lines, 1-800-777-29. So he opens the phone lines and asks people for their 4th of July memories. And I'm sitting on the other, like you right now, on the other side of the glass with headphones on. And I'm just peering through the glass like you're peering at me right now, Eric. And I sat there for 3 hours waiting for that first call.
Ugh.
For 4th of July memories.
Wouldn't they all be the same? I was at a barbecue drinking beers, watching fireworks.
No. 4th of July sports memories.
Even harder.
Like, can you come up with the 4th of July sports memories? Like what you saw in baseball that you will always remember, right?
I mean, again, it's fireworks. It's fireworks after going to a Sox game. That's the 4th of July sports memory.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
4th of July sports memories. And we sat there for 3 hours. And I said, Bob, at the first couple of segments, I was like, Bob, this ain't gonna work. And he's like, oh no, people have their memories. I remember Ron Guidry with the Yankees in 1987. I'm like, all right, Bob. And we sat there on a warm 4th of July night and there were no calls. And so from that moment on, I said to myself, self, never do a theme on the theme day. It's like Jesse Rogers and his turkey. Jesse, for years, would do these Thanksgiving shows and just like, who's your turkey of the year? Pop, pop, pop.
That's pull such my, a Jesse segment.
Pull my pants down for calls. Give me a call. You know, I never did like turkey. I was going to do turkey of the, who's the biggest turkey in sports on Thanksgiving? I'm like, I'm never going to do this. Again, I'll cross the glass, peering at Jesse. It's like, Jesse, this is not going to, who's your biggest turkey? Here we go. Pop, pop, pop. Like, Jesse, no. It's Thanksgiving. No one's calling you.
Right. No one is sitting by the radio waiting to call in. Nobody.
Oh, God. My life. Right?
And then now it comes full circle.
Halloween night, who's your scariest athlete? Give us a call, the guy that scares you the most in sports.
Who do you want to boo the most?
Just right, exactly. Again, just watching these shows just crumble with this. So I broke my rule for you. You said we should do something Valentine's Day. And you know what? Usually our Facebook, and again, I'm letting all this out because we...
Oops, I'm breaking the fourth wall.
We are breaking CM Punk's fourth wall. And so I'm saying that we tried. And it's not necessarily... I can release the phone lines and say, what was the worst gift that you ever had on Valentine's Day? Or what is your biggest Valentine's Day memory? I can open the phone lines. I don't know if I can get 10 calls on it. But usually... at 312-332-ESPN. But usually on Facebook, we have an older, you know, sect that has more memories, that's lived a little longer, right? Facebook, cat pictures, you know, stuff like that. Pictures of their animals and very, very extreme close-ups of their food. And so, we tried and I got a like and I got a laugh for the question of Valentine's Day. You know, what was like the, well, I forgot even what the question, I think I took it down. What was the question
you
I did. Asked?
It was what you basically just said. What was your best or worst memory or gift you got for Valentine's Day?
Right.
And you got a thumbs up.
Yep.
Thanks.
And a laugh.
And then you switched it up to received on a special occasion to see if more people would want to chime in.
Yes.
Nope. Just
yes.
A like.
Yes. What is your best or worst gift that you received on a special occasion that you weren't expecting? And nobody home. So this is why this show continues to get better and better with each show. Cause we're not going to let that stop us. You think that's going to let that stop us? Like we're not going to do Throwback Thursday. Oh, we'll do Throwback Thursday because Eric, Felix and I have our own Valentine's Day stories. And, we're going to give those stories. And also we are going to look back at some funny thoughts about Valentine's Day, part of Throwback Thursday. We are not going to be stopped in this program. We're never going to be stopped. You think that because no one responded on Facebook and no one has Valentine's Day memories that we're going to stop doing this? No. Because if it's Thursday, and it's the 9 o'clock hour, it's Throwback Thursday.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
Before Snapchat.
What is that?
Before Twitter.
So what's the sitch?
There was.
You love.
Yeah. That's so throwback.
Those were the good times.
That's so throwback.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Throwback Thursday memories.
I see a little silhouette of a man.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
Put your hands up.
The throwback.
All you need is love.
The throwback. Taking it back.
Go back.
The throwback.
The throwback. Throwback.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
Let's go back.
It is Throwback Thursday, right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Jonathan Hood with you. And yes, despite the lack of commitment from our people on Facebook, we are still doing Throwback Thursday. And we are still going to do Valentine's Day memories because those guys on the other side of the glass, Eric and Felix, they just kept pushing for it. And so guess what? Instead of me changing it, we're going to go through with it. And this will be a lesson to both of you guys. You should never, ever give us a topic or a theme based on the quote unquote holiday. Write that down. Put that in your journal.
It's on the right side of my ledger.
That's right. You never do that. You should never do that again. But we're going to do it anyway. This is your 4th of July memories show. Candace Parker, bottom of the hour. So let me start on a Throwback Thursday. To Maryville, Indiana 3 years ago, which was a odd Valentine's Day gift I gave to Peacock. So, Maryville, Indiana, there we are at the Star Plaza, and she wanted to see a concert. And it was star-studded with some of the R&B legends, like Mint Condition was there and like a few others. But because she was such a New Edition fan growing up, Bobby Brown was the headliner. And that could be hit or miss, but she wanted to see Bobby Brown. And so I said, okay, let's go. This is 3 years ago, Valentine's Day. We go to the Star Plaza. And I sent you two the video, and it's on my Instagram. I think I just retweeted it or reposted it on my Instagram, IGJ Hood on Instagram. I sent you the video of Bobby Brown not at his best. He's the main event, top of the card, right? Bobby Brown sings one song, then sings the second of the, you know, the second of his second song. Like, not the entire song, but it was like a little segment of his second song. And then held his stomach and said, "Whoo, a blank is tired. Let me bring on this other act that I'm tutoring right now." Ladies and gentlemen, three black dudes that I got off the street or whoever they were. And they come out and they do two songs that nobody heard of. And then Bobby Brown comes back on stage and Bobby Brown turns to the band and says, "What should we do now?"
That's good.
Bobby Brown. Wow. Wait a minute.
I want to say, first off, Bobby Brown never could be tired. With all the drugs he did, there's no way he was actually tired. He just needed to go back to get his fix.
Hold on a second. Now, did you not see the video I sent you?
Yeah.
Okay, what did you think of the video I sent you? What did you think of what you saw?
I mean, he's Bobby Brown. He's kind of standing there for the most part, though, I guess. Thinking about it, I would expect more out of a Bobby Brown performance, you know?
Not at the time, 2016.
Yeah, that's probably it, though.
3 years ago, I'm seeing him do every little step, right?
Steps were a little too slow in these videos.
I mean, he's doing My Prerogative, and then, like, in the middle of My Prerogative, he has to almost take a knee, just like... And at some point in the concert, he goes, "That's me, ladies and gentlemen, fat-ass Bobby Brown." He says that, right? It still gets, like, a pop, right? And it's just like, you know... I'm looking at, like, if I want to see Bobby Brown, I want to hear a little Tenderoni. I want to hear a little Humping Around. I want to hear a little, you know, That's the Way Love Is, a little Don't Be Cruel, just like the classics from Bob Brown from the late 80s and the early 90s. But no, Bobby had brought on some other act, some dudes that just came out of nowhere. And they did two songs nobody knew. And then he comes back on and turns to the band and says, what you want to play next. Like, this ain't karaoke, man. It's a full house. It's sold out. It's a V103 event. It's sold out. And people start throwing stuff at the stage because he only got through like four songs. I mean, it was a good night, but then he got on it. It was the worst.
Jeez.
Bob Brown, everybody. And I turned to Peacock and I go, I'm so sorry.
Right.
She's like, no, that was great. It's Bobby Brown. I'm like, as long as you enjoyed
right,
it.
Right.
She was like, no, that was just hilarious. It's like, didn't expect that. You know, no any heartbreak. No, you know, Candy Girl. No. No, he took a knee. Tired. Bob Brown. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's some thoughts about Valentine's Day from George Lopez.
The jewelry stores say, tell your wife I love you with a diamond. That's got you, eh? Tell your wife you love her with a diamond. Well, wives tell you they love you with, okay, but just because it's Valentine's Day. All right? But take a shower and make it fast. And turn out the light. I don't want to see you. And it's Valentine's Day week here. It's also Black History Month. Los dos together. Black History Month and Valentine's Day. And they go together perfectly because you can use the same techniques that Martin Luther King used. Express no anger. Never retaliate on an opponent. Because you go crazy, you'll be outside your house with a sandwich board marching, I'm a man, just back and forth. And she'll come out with a water hose and a dog. You could give the I have a dream speech. I have a dream. And she'll say, yeah, cochino, I know your dream. I know your dream. I know. Because I see the way you look at my friend. You're not bringing the two of us together. Not with you, Sucio Luther King.
The throwback.
Throwback Thursday.
George Lopez.
There he is. Right here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Hey, Lux, are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
All right, let's go. Let's see. Hear your Valentine's Day story, and that is our theme for Throwback Thursday.
All right. I was 16. I was excited. This was going to be my first.
Oh, no. Valentine's you can't tell that story.
Day. No. No,
oh.
No.
Oh. Wow. That was going to be a big reveal.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Or just a reveal.
Yeah. we went.
Party Express.
I remember I was working for a bank at the time, and I didn't have direct deposit for the first check. So I had just got this job. I had a girlfriend at the time, and I wanted to get her something special for Valentine's Day. Mm. So I remember we went to Navy Pier. I took her to the Build-A-Bear shop. That's what she wanted. We got the bear done, everything, the whole nine. She was excited. Once we got to the cash register, swiped my card, not realizing that because I didn't get a direct deposit, this is me, by the way, working at a bank for the first time, got a check that I deposited, still needed about 2 to 3 business days to clear. So when my card swiped, I kept getting declined. And around this time, there was no quick pay. There wasn't someone to help bail you out, like a friend you could text real quick.
That's say, hey, can you give PLS. Me?
So, yeah. So I wasn't able to pay for that. We also had a dinner plan. Yep. And we weren't able to do that either.
Oh. So,
good thing is I kept the girlfriend for about another month and a half before
ask,
she was done.
Was there a second date after that mess?
There was, all but right. It didn't last after a month.
You're better off though.
Better off for sure.
You're better off because she was just there for the money.
That's all she was there for.
And that woman was 24. All right. Now, Lewis Black says that Valentine's Day shouldn't be in February on a Throwback Thursday.
As I've grown older, each year I've dropped holidays from my calendar that I don't think apply anymore. And this year I'm proud to say that I dropped Valentine's Day. Yeah. Now, let's get it clear things up. I'm not saying we shouldn't have a holiday of love. Just not in February. It doesn't belong there. It does not belong there. And if you ladies want this holiday, because it's your holiday, we're not going to even argue about that, are we? Because if you don't realize that men don't give a shit about it, and they don't, and if your husband is telling you that he does, then you have tortured him like some kind of prisoner of war. It's February. The holiday doesn't belong in February. When should we celebrate it? In the spring, when a man can feel his again.
Without ever actually seeing the video, I know his hands were going a million miles an hour.
Absolutely were.
his hands moving a million miles an hour. He's so calm, and then all of a sudden, he just goes into, like, crazy mode. Louis Black, everybody.
He's funny. He's a good
one. Throwback.
Eric Ostrowski, Valentine's Day story on a Throwback Thursday.
Okay, I will say mine is not nearly as fun as your guys's. I'd say 3 years ago, I can't remember sure, but my prior second job was I used to remodel and build houses.
Yes.
February, it's cold out. We're on the roof. We're doing an addition to a house on the roof, like setting rafters and stuff like that. And at this time, the homeowners weren't living in the house, so the house was empty. We're in the backside of the house. We didn't see the pizza truck. Delivery guy pull up to the front, doesn't see us, walks through the construction in the back. He's like, yo, I got pizza for you guys. We didn't order it. I'm arguing with him for like 5 minutes. Like, that's not us. He's like, your name? He reads my name off. All right, I come down, and it's a heart-shaped pizza. My girlfriend, fiance at the time got me the heart-shaped pizza.
Aww.
Thing is, we're in the middle of something. So, like, the delivery guy leaves. We put it back on the ground, go back up on the roof. 2 hours come down. The pizza is rock hard frozen. Did not get a chance to eat it at all. It was just a frozen pizza. that was the biggest flub that we've had on Valentine's Day. So not big.
Not bad. You gotta live a little bit. There's gonna be more.
Yeah, no, we got time.
There's gonna be more, that's for sure. But there you go, Throwback Thursday. Right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Let's go to Saturday Night Live.
Your girlfriend is beautiful, sexy, and one of a kind. So this Valentine's Day, get her a gift that's as special and unique as she is. Some dumb little thing from CVS. Because you're already there buying toilet paper. And, oh, mother, it's Valentine's Day? CVS has all the heartfelt gifts your long-term girlfriend wants. Like a small bear dressed like a bee, with hearts that say, be mine.
Oh, when did you get this?
1 minute ago.
Exquisite gifts she'll treasure forever. And if your woman loves jewelry, look no further than aisle 8. The front half. The back half is dog food. There you'll find this beautiful heart pendant necklace for only $1.99. Recommended by our seasoned jewelry associate.
Yeah, it's really good.
Or get her a gift that really screams her. A tiny heart-shaped box of chocolates with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on the front. They really put the chalk in chocolate. For a naughty surprise you know she'll love, pick up some G-rated CVS brand sex dice.
Ooh, tickle face.
Guaranteed to give her the night of her dreams. Or when in doubt, nothing says Valentine's like an old Christmas stocking.
You can put your makeup in it.
You have hurt me today. So shop CVS for all your Valentine's Day needs. And salsa.
Oh, that's so good.
That's probably really why nobody had stories, because half of our listeners are probably last minute shoppers for Valentine's Day. They don't want to talk about their CBS shopping.
That's pretty funny.
It's awesome.
That is pretty funny.
Tickle face is
G-rated.
Oh my God. Isn't that so true?
It is.
Cause I've been there. Yeah, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. The ones you're not serious about, that's those ones you shop in the local corner stores.
Get the flowers at Jewel on your way over. Yep.
Those hold up for at least a day.
Then you're out. You're good.
I love you because you got me these flowers. It's so nice, Jay Hood. Thank you so much. You're welcome. It was just a thought, you know. Just make sure you put those in water.
Right. I got the special feed in it. It came with a little bag of
the
feed for
feed,
you, too.
The little green package of feed that doesn't really hold. You saw the offer, though. You saw the offer. You got me those flowers, though. Yes, I did.
You're welcome.
They died a day later, though. And that, my friends, is Throwback Thursday. Did you get these for me? Ooh, the price tag still says $2.99 on the back.
It's in the wrong spot. It was $29.99.
Sorry, miss. Sorry, honey. Sorry about that. Coming up, a Under the Hood exclusive, something that you've not heard here on ESPN 1000.
As I combine all the juice from the mind, heal up, wheel up, bring it back, come rewind.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000.
Give me some candy.
You're listening to my mans and them, Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Special show tomorrow. I'll be with Chris Black 6 to 8 after Waddle and Sylvie on Friday, right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. We will give you something now that you have not heard on ESPN 1000. As a conversation I had with Candace Parker. Candace Parker, a WNBA champion, Chicago's own, soon to be a Basketball Hall of Famer for sure. I talked to her about what's going on, what was going on with her in high school, in college as a Lady Vol, because she played for the Tennessee Volunteers. You can hear this interview on and all my interviews and my shows content on SoundCloud, on Player.fm, on TuneIn app, on Podchaser.com, listener notes, of course, iTunes, Apple Pods, and wherever you download your podcast, look for the UTH Pod, Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. That's where you find my podcasts. I'd love for you to subscribe, download, that way you'll never miss an episode of this radio show or unique content that you normally don't hear, like this right here with Candace Parker. I have to start off the conversation by asking her, how's life, Candace?
Life is going good. Just in LA, I'm training for the season, just working out, and then also, you know, working in Atlanta for, you know, TNT and NBA TV. And so that's kind of my first off season in 11 years. So it's really nice to be stateside this time of year.
Yeah, you can catch Candace each week on NBA TV's game night. Their money presentations leading into always some great, exciting NBA games on Monday night on the league's flagship network. You all have a ball. I see you on there on NBA TV, and I love the presentation because, I mean, for years you grew up and I grew up watching all the action taking place in the arena. But I just like the relaxed atmosphere of just being able to take your time, pick it apart from studio, relax, the little anecdotes along with the game. I like it. How do you like the being with that TNT family?
You know, it's really interesting because, you know, I play basketball for a living, so that's obviously to me the best job. And then, you know, secondary is definitely talking about basketball. And then to be basically in the setting that I would be in anyway, you know, what do we do as players? We sit around and watch the TV from our couch. And that's similar to how it is when you're watching it from the studio. You know, you're analyzing the game, and obviously it is a job, but there's a fun aspect to it. And you're able to kind of pick it apart and tell stories and hear things about, you know, other players that you didn't know. And so it's been definitely a learning experience for me, but a lot of fun in the process.
You're having fun, and that's the whole point of it. So I'm an NBA fan, so I'm enjoying it. And on top of that, I'm a Candace Parker fan. Way, way early in my career, you and your family came in studio several times when you were at Naperville Central. It was great talking to you even back then. So what are your fondest memories of high school and being in Naperville Central?
You know, Chicago is a hotbed for, you know, grassroots basketball, AAU, and that's kind of the way that I grew up. You know, mm-hmm. I grew up every weekend. We had a basketball tournament And then during the high school season, it was every, if I wasn't playing in a game, I was at another game. And so to grow up around that in a place that really loves basketball, it didn't matter what level it was all basketball. And so I just am really thankful for growing up in that environment. And obviously winning two championships at Naperville Central, a school that had never won a championship before for women's basketball, was extremely special. And now I'm hoping to go back and to see them play. I planned on this weekend, but you know, other things have kept me away. But just, you know, it's really home, and I am a Chicagoan always. I cheer for Chicago sports, and that's how it always will be.
You know, one thing I did not know, obviously watching your career in high school, going to college, I didn't know what other schools were coming or that really wanted your services, wanted you to go to their college. You settled on Tennessee, which was great for you as a lady volunteer. But what other colleges did you consider? Because I know there was probably a lot of mail coming in that mailbox.
So my final five was Duke, Tennessee, Texas, DePaul, and Maryland. Those were my final five where I took my official visit to go. Mm-hmm. DePaul, obviously, I grew up watching, you know, watching their school and going to their games. And obviously, I'm a huge Doug Bruno supporter and, you know, went to all his camps growing up. And so that was like a no-brainer. And then the other three, it was just I had a connection with the school. There are things outside of basketball that, you know, attracted me to those schools. But all in all, I wanted to be the best basketball player I could be and to be led by an extremely, I would say, fierce woman in who I wanted to be, and that's Pat Summitt. And, you know, it was just a great combination for me to be able to go to a school that you could play in front of 20,000 people night in and night out. And that's what I wanted to be a part of.
What was the importance of Pat Summitt in your life as a head coach? Because I know you're at the ESPYs and you have an award there. You were talking about her. I remember you walking off the floor, and I think ESPN was interviewing you. I think shortly after she passed away, and you had like this monstrous rebounding game. That was just amazing. What was the importance of Pat Summitt in your life?
You know, she means so much to me, and definitely as a basketball player. But I think every day I'm realizing more and more, it's so much more than basketball. It's really about her courage and her perseverance and her ability to take something that wasn't a big deal at the time, and that's women's sports, and fight for it. And to continue to believe in something that nobody else believed in. And, you know, I really remember her, obviously, when I'm on the basketball court, but every single day when I'm parenting my daughter and I'm telling her to do something or teaching her something or telling her a story. I mean, she's not far from my mind because she's had such an impact on the person that I am. And, you know, basketball is going to stop bouncing at some point in time, but, you know, she always preached about people and passion. And I really feel blessed that I've surrounded myself with that. And I've taken that advice and really paid attention because, you know, like careers, they last only so long, but the people you surround yourself with and how passionate you are about helping people, that's really what's going to last.
Catch Candace Parker. She's featured on Players Only on TNT alongside Chris Webber, Shaquille O'Neal, and Baron Davis for Tuesday night NBA game action on TNT. She joins me, Jonathan Hood, on the Under the Hood show. I want to find out what it means to you personally when fans and columnists consider you one of the most decorated basketball players of all time. I mean, how does that make you feel when you receive those accolades so often?
It means a lot to me. I think when you're a child, you set out to be the best that you can at something, mm-hmm. and to win as many awards and championships as possible. And so to really, you know, be able to experience the journey of that process, but also to remember, you know, to look back on things. I mean, when I was a kid growing up, I remember watching the 96 Olympics and wanting to be Cheryl Swoops and Lisa Leslie and Tina Thompson and Cynthia Cooper standing on that podium. And then to be able to say my daughter, you know, I won two Olympic gold medals, you know, and I've won a championship and things like that. So it really means a lot to me, just kind of that all the hard work that has, you know, from my family, from my coaches, from everybody that's been a part of my career has had a hand in that.
Do you remember the first basketball player that came to you and noticed how good your game was and it surprised you? Was it someone from college or someone from the pros that saw you and were like, wow, I really like your game?
That is a good question. The earliest I remember was probably Doug Bruno, honestly, from DePaul. And I was at one of the Doug Bruno camps, and I was in seventh grade. And I was playing up with the high schoolers. And I remember, you know, I would go to the gym all the time with my dad. And, you know, my dad treated me like an athlete. I wasn't a girl. I wasn't a boy. I wasn't anything. I was just an athlete he was training. So we never really stopped to kind of, you know, take in if I was good or not. We just kind of worked. And so when I kind of went to this camp, this was really the first measuring stick of me against my peers. And I remember I got offered a scholarship at that camp from DePaul. And, you know, I was really excited about it. And, you know, it was my first scholarship, and I'd been through the process with my brother of trying to pick a college. So that was, you know, definitely a dream come true for me. And, you know, my dad really challenged me to continue to work and to continue to get better and not to be satisfied.
Candace, I really need your help, and I hope that you can help our listeners with this regarding the WNBA, because I talked to Shanae Agumake about this. I've talked to a couple other people about this, but I'm thinking you could help us as far as the needed changes to the league and for the future of the league, because to me, I think that from a television standpoint, awareness and financial, for the next CBA, whenever that comes across, things have to change. Can you look at the WNBA and tell me some things that really you'd love to see for the future for the league?
Well, first of all, I think we have to put things in perspective. We're comparing our league against the NFL, against the NBA, that has been around for 65 years. This is a young league. And with a young league, it comes young fans, and it comes a fan base that we have to identify. And I think first and foremost, identifying our fan base of who we're trying to attract and going from there and building that. I mean, you have generations now that are Boston Celtics fans because their great-grandfather was a Boston Celtics fan. My daughter, I con her into being a Bears fan because I am a Bears fan.
Right.
And so you have to kind of grow that relationship. And that starts with being out in the community. That starts with establishing a foundation, a faith. I mean, with social media nowadays, being able to really use that to tell stories. Because people pay attention to the NBA. But now the NBA has grown because, first of all, they don't wear helmets, so they're recognizable. And second of all, the NBA has grown because now you fall in love with the storylines. Like, people were watching OKC play Golden State, not because they were trying to watch two great teams play against each other, because they wanted to see what Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, were they going to handshake before the game? So I think we have to grow those stories and tell those stories. And so for a period of time, you're fighting against people want to be outside in the summer. They don't want to be in the gym in the summer. We disappear and go overseas for months on end after the season. So you're not really able to kind of grow with these people. So I do think that there is a place for the WNBA. I think we have to figure out our audience, and it's going to take time. I mean, you're not going to fix everything with one CBA.
Yeah. And financially, that's got to get better too, right? You got to get closer to a better agreement for more money for the players. I'm all for that.
Yes, I am all for that as well, but I'm one of those people that's like, if you bring a problem, you got to bring a solution. And so we live in capitalism. That's America. There are no handouts. This is not 1972 where we're trying to fight for Title IX of federally funded universities. That's not what this is. This is a moneymaker. And so with that, who in a household buys things for the household? The woman. So the target audience should be women. And so it's going after that. It's getting women to support women's sports. And so that's what I think is the key. I mean, growing up as a women's basketball player, I didn't have the WNBA until I was 11 years old. But when I was 11, I started watching the WNBA. Now the problem is a lot of young girls that play basketball, they don't watch the WNBA. So there lies the problem. You grow up and you want to play in this league that you're not watching. So I think just targeting the audience and really going after that will help grow and make things better financially.
You know what's fascinating to me about just basketball, whether it's WNBA and the NBA, Candace, is just the culture of the league. It's one thing to watch games and see the ebb and flow of games, but what kind of hooks me is the culture, meaning the social media, the on the floor, the off the floor. It's not about the rumor innuendo as much as it is just the give and take between players on social media and the game. How interesting is that aspect of the game for you? Because to me, just like the NFL was for a long time, basketball is 12 months out of the year as far as storyline.
It is a huge impact. It's always on your brain. It's always at your fingertips. You know, in 1997, I think it was, when David Stern changed the NBA dress code, and then quickly, now all of a sudden, the dress code doesn't exist, or at least it's not enforced, because it's a storyline. We want to know what the players are wearing when they walk into the arena. We want to know what they're wearing when they're on the red carpet. It's things like that. And so I think social media has a place and has grown the game of basketball so much because you're able to get to know these players and know them far more than when they're just in between the lines. I mean, before, when you're watching Michael Jordan play, you barely knew who he was. You saw him in commercials and you saw him playing on the basketball court. But you didn't see him, you know, on Instagram or be able to follow his story. And so I think that's the reason why it's so big right now, is because, you know, you can fall in love with these players and really feel like you are on a personal level with them.
Candace, is there one thing that you'd want to do that you haven't accomplished yet? What is it that in your life that you've kind of looked at as a goal and said, at some point I want to do this?
Honestly, I believe one time. If you do things one time, it's not really a representation of – it could be by chance, if that makes sense. If you do it twice, it's really hard to fall on luck twice. If you do something twice, you're pretty damn good at it. And I want to win another championship. I want to win another WNBA championship, because I think the first time it's great and, you know, I cemented my legacy and we won the championship and our team will be forever remembered and that's all well and good. But if you win twice, then now you're in the conversation. And so, you know, that's been my goal. And I think once you win one championship, you taste it and it's like, it doesn't satisfy you. You want another one and another one and another one. And so that's kind of what I want to do. Obviously, off the court, I want to continue to be a champion of women in general, not just women's sports, but women equality and, you know, fighting for a better world in terms of what my daughter is going to come into, from the workplace to how she's treated, how she's viewed, things like that. So obviously we've got a lot of work to do, but got a lot of years hopefully to do it.
So you can catch Candace each week on NBA TV's Game Night Monday presentations leading into exciting slate of Monday night NBA games on the league's flagship network. We're up as we record this on Friday. It is a balmy 10 degrees. So I think I'm good now after being minus 30. I think we're good now. It's almost like summer.
Okay, well, I hate to brag, but in L.A. it's like 70 degrees. It's a little overcast, though, to my liking, but 70 degrees. I mean, now you know everybody comes out west, so that's the way it is. The West Coast is the best coast. Everybody's just now catching on.
Yes, I'm starting to feel that way. I'm not going to be that. You know what? It's like on my block on the south side, right? That we get all these people that's retired, that's been in their homes for 40 years in the southeast side. And I'm just kind of like, you know what? When I get old, I don't think I want to do that. I don't think I want to be shoveling snow when I'm 60 and 70. I'm like, no, forget that. I think I'm going to go out west. I think that's the retirement home for me.
At least between October and April. I'm telling you, Chicago's the best city between April and October. But yes, the other months, I'm gonna pass on those
ones. By the way, I'm putting in my request now. Last name Hood, first name Jonathan, to be on the Candace Parker party when the All Star game comes to Chicago, because I know you're going to be holding something.
I'm putting it in now. I got you.
So next year we're gonna be
shivering together for sure. It's gonna be cold.
Because I know there's gonna be a spot. I already know there's gonna be a Candace Parker party someplace. So I don't have to stand in line because I'm kind of a celebrity and kind of a big deal too. So
I love it.
Jonathan Parker party. I'm in there.
For sure. You'll have a table. I got you.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
No problem. Talk to you later. Stay warm.
From your hood to J-hood.
I excel, then prevail. The mic is contacted, I attract clientele.
On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Hey! 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 Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. I understand if you like a song in 2019, you just say a lot. That's how that works.
Us white folks need all the simple stuff like that we can get. All right. Left foot, two stomps, got that one down.
Just say a lot and then you're in. You'll need that for the All-Star game next year. All the parties. You just heard from Candace Parker. It already says Hood, comma Jonathan. I'm already at the Candace Parker party. I'm already there. She's from here, so it's going to be lit. So we've made that connection. And that was the first time I interviewed her since high school. Cause I interviewed her when she was in high school as a superstar when she brought her parents in. So it's been a long time since I talked to her. So it was great to catch up and talk to Candace Parker. Okay. So tomorrow's show, we will have Chris Black in and we'll talk about the first half of the NBA season. I was going to talk about a little bit of it tonight, but I'm like, I'll save it tomorrow. I'll overwhelm Black with my NBA knowledge tomorrow. Instead of doing it here, I'll do it tomorrow between 6 and 8 right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. We thank you for listening and being part of the program here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Our thanks to Ryan Hollins and Jesse Rogers and Candace Parker and the show produced by Felix and Eric on the other side of the glass. So again, tomorrow 6 to 8 we'll be together right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Don't forget the Under the Hood podcast. Wherever you download your podcast, if you're a podcast listener and you haven't downloaded the Under the Hood podcast, these shows and unique content like that Candace Parker interview, man, you're just missing out. Don't be that woman, don't be that guy. Come on. Support me. I support you. You support me. Under the Hood podcast. Talk to you tomorrow at 6 right here on UTH. Levitard and Stu Gatter next. And Mina Kimes. Oh boy.
Jonathan Hood.
I'm so hood.
On ESPN 1000. Oh!